cup, Lord. And fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Yeah. about one announcement this evening. Just a reminder that the fellowship for the youth 12 and up and singles again at Pastor Cam's house, 7 p.m. this Friday. So all who can make it. I don't think they need RSVPs. If you can make it, show up. Amen. We don't have any written prayer requests or testimonies. Sure, I'll have testimonies. Amen. Yeah. We do have a couple brothers on the road right now. Brother Bart is actually in Toledo right now. He's got class. But also, remember Brother Dave in prayer. He's traveling. He's out in Iowa right now visiting Isaiah Brooks. Amen. And then I'm going to ask Brother Simon to do some of the prayer also in the tithing office. I want to keep Sister Luann in prayer too, because we've been trying to get over. Can't get over. May not be enough to just keep her. So. All right, let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy, God, Lord, and Lord, just a little bit smaller crowd here, God, some of the saints, God, Lord, out and doing these things or whatever, Lord, and Lord, seeing Brother Lee, Lord, before service here, just exhausted, God, Lord, just bless him, God, keep him, God, Lord, and strength, God, Lord, and be with our sister Luann, God, Lord, not sure exactly, Lord. Lord, if he's fighting any mind battles, God, or if the devil's trying to infiltrate anything there, God, Lord, we rebuke it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, Lord, and be with our brother Dave and brother Bart there, Lord, keep them, God, in their journeys, Lord Jesus, Lord. Lord, for all the saints that did push their way out, God, Lord, and were available, God, Lord, if they're here, God, Lord, ready to serve you, God, Lord, with all their heart, God, Lord, we're singing, Lord, and we're trying to do our best to worship, Lord Jesus, God. And Lord, just accept this little humble sacrifice of praise, God, Lord, out of these mortal lips, God, Lord. And Lord, devil fighting at every corner, God, Lord, and flesh, God, Lord, we fight ourselves and our worst enemy there, Lord. And we're just doing our best, God, Lord, just pressing on, trudging, Lord, through anything, God, Lord. And though it seems like it just what we're going through gets thicker and thicker, God, the pressure is building, God. And Lord, we're seeing times, Lord, we never thought we'd see, God. And Lord, we don't know what's up ahead, God, Lord. We know there's daylight ahead, Lord, but we, Lord, we're just trusting you, Lord, get us there, God. And we just believe that, God, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, God, Lord. And be with our pastor, God, that he brings the word, God. And Lord, we thank you for the services, Lord, last Sunday, God. And Lord, for last Wednesday, God, Lord, just powerful. Just like, never seen nothing like that, my Lord, myself, God. Just really a real blessing, God. We just pray to be with our pastor, God, that he brings the word again, Lord. Bless our song leader here, God, filling in, Lord. Take care of his voice, God. And Lord, just we just love you, God. And Lord, we just really appreciate you, God. And Lord, a sister told us one time, said that you're just a real sweet man, God. That really touched my soul, God. I'll never forget that, Lord. You're so sweet, God. We just love you, God. We thank you for this day, Lord. And it's to be with Sister Karen, Lord, and Brother Bill, God, also. Lord, the saints around the world, God. We love you.
Let's sing that song, Wherever I Go, I'll Praise Him. I mean, how many know that wherever two or three gathered in His name, there He is, amen? Sing that song, Wherever I Go, I'll Praise Him.
Wherever I go, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. And I lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name.
come and dine. Jesus has the table spread. Amen.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his hand on Jesus' feet, he supplies our every need. Oh, teach me to shop for Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. May peace that Jesus gave us.
Everybody's ready to feast at Jesus' table this evening. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that song. There's no satisfaction outside salvation. Amen.
There is no satisfaction outside salvation. Thank you.
the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. One more time. Oh, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. May be seated by the grace of God. Appreciate all those able to make it. We've got a couple sick. We got some people out. Some people got stuff to do. So praise God. Good to see those that were able to make it this evening, though. By the grace of God, we appreciate the Lord allowing us to be here this evening. Amen. And kind of been dreading to go back to Smyrna for quite some time because I know it's going to be when I get there. But tonight's that special night now. But anyway, I just give God a little testimony of praise of how great He is. And by the grace of God at work, they had actually put me to run this itty-bitty little job over here, and they wanted me to do this. And I was kind of at the demand of the company. And they told me it was going to be Tuesday or today. And, of course, yesterday I'm waiting, believing, and they didn't call on Tuesday. So this morning, yesterday before I went home, they said they were going to have it today, and it'd probably be right early morning or something like that. So I went prepared to go, and anyway, I called him up and wasn't able to get a hold of nobody. Then he left me a message that it'd probably be around noon. So then he left me another message that said it'd be after work. And then I'm like, oh no. I said, they're going to try to make me miss church now, aren't they? That's how that devil is. So at work, I just started crying out to God. I said, Lord Jesus, give me the victory, Lord. I just can't be working tonight. You know that, Lord. Just could you spare me that bruise, Lord? And anyway, so the guy calls me again, and he says, I said, well, how's the progress? And actually, I called him, but I said, how's the progress? And he said, well, and this is about at 2 o'clock. He said, what time you get off work? I said, well, about three, a little after 3:30, somewhere near. He said, oh, okay. He said, well, I said, it'll probably be ready right about 6:30, 7 o'clock. And he said, what time you get off work again? I said, well, I get off right around 3 o'clock. He said, yeah. He said, I don't want to make you stay in here for 3 hours. He said, we'll just do it in the morning. And you could tell he was contemplating. The Holy Ghost must have been all over him. And you know me, I'm like, I wasn't nervous or anything because I just put it in God's hands. I knew God would work out a way, and God opened that door and gave us a little bit of a blessing there, a little testimony that we can hold on to. Amen. We serve a great God, don't we? Amen. Also, I might as well just do it. But me and my wife have been hiding a little secret. We're expecting our third child. So, by the grace of God, she's almost 3 months pregnant now, or 3 months pregnant, somewhere in between there. So she's been sucking it in for a while, but anyway, she can wear it loud and proud now. So just so everybody knows, so by the grace of God, that's kind of where we're at there, and just all sorts of good things involved, and oh, happy day, amen. And so anyway, now on to Smyrna. But Lord, show me a few things. I started feeling a little bit better about this because I've been trying to dodge it, just because I know, you know, they know everybody in church. We've had quite the battles from the devil, and we just try to get the church up in a little bit better of a spirit with more evangelical preaching, more faith preaching, that type of stuff. And I pray that that's been a blessing to you. We know where God has directed this church, and that God has an eternal place in His heart for this church. We soundly and firmly believe that with all our heart. But anyway, this evening we're pretty blessed to be bringing this just a few thoughts to you. And if you'd like to stand for the reading of the Word, we won't sing no more. But we want to move back, and we're going to test the old memory that you got this evening, and hopefully. You can remember a few of these things without me having to fully recap. We've preached about four or five, six sermons on Smyrna already, and won't be quite as many old types that will go through this, but we have a few more sermons that we'll be preaching on this, and this is the hard one right here, and it's not really that hard. It's actually got a lot of, actually I'm finding even more and more tonight. You actually kind of might be astonished by a few things you hear, and just a little bit more of the. Like I said, I'm becoming more blessed as I read this, because remember, when God puts anything in Scripture, there's a reason why He puts it there. Amen. It is for you. Amen. Now, well, obviously, one of the characteristics that we've been finding of the church age is that it's just not all good, lovey-dovey, feel-good type of stuff, but it's stuff that actually is there to allow you to eat the book, so that you can actually discern between good and bad, amen, at a further level in which earlier churches have failed. So God reveals this message to you in this day so that what? So that you won't fail, right? You'll have the revelation of all the good characteristics and all the bad characteristics, and then you can put them all together and say, okay, God, I'm ready for the rapture, amen? So that's kind of what we're looking at here. And like I said, as I've been even diving into this today, as kind of dreading, and I felt like God was pushing me this way, and then He started showing me a few things, and it kind of makes me feel a little bit good about everything. But anyway, we do want to open our Bibles, like I said, to Revelations 2, and when we get there, we will go to the 8th verse. It says in the 8th verse, it says, "Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write." Who is the angel? It was the messenger. Who was the messenger? Irenaeus, okay? So if your memory's that good, you're doing all right, and you'll be ready to jump right into this. It says, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." That's our God. "I know thy works, thy in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich." Amen. Why? Because they were spiritually rich, okay? "And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Now notice this, he continues on by saying, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's what I'm looking for, a crown of life. How about you? Amen? All right. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh, beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how, Lord, as I even look at, Lord, what you've already been showing in these church ages, God, I'm just amazed. I'm blown away, God. And, Lord, I've found so many compliments and so many wonderful things, oh God, not just by this church, but by others, oh God, who have heard some of the things that have come forth out of these, God. And God, Lord, the statements they make, oh God, show me that it's you that has your destination in these church ages, God. This is the time for this church to go through these things, God. Perhaps, oh God, Lord, as time has wandered, we've got a little away, God, but we believe, Lord, that maybe now would be a good time to jump into that as we're trying to follow the leading, God. And we understand tonight, God, we want to dedicate ourselves wholly to you, God. Say what you'd like to say, God. If it's hard, we want it hard, God. If it's light, we want it light, God. We want the Holy Ghost, God, to have your free will this evening, God. Oh, God, may you, oh, God, Lord, do as you desire in these lives, God. May we still pull on the Word. May we still, God, desire to hear what the Spirit would say, Lord. Oh God, as Lord, some of these things, oh God, have been a great blessing to me. Oh God, even as I'm ready to preach it, God, I pray, oh God, you continue, oh God, and open these things up as we minister, God. May the Holy Ghost open this word further, oh God, than what you've even shown me, Lord. We're trusting that you'll do that tonight. For the glory in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, brother. This evening we're going to be moving on to Smyrna, like we said, and it might be Smyrna with a little semicolon, and we'll give it the thought of the synagogue of Satan. What a good start. But anyway, just perhaps to maybe delve into this just a little bit and kind of look at things and to try to get a little thought as we're going to move into this, we remember here that we're moving into Smyrna. And remember, Smyrna means bitterness, right? And it was a bitter age filled, remember, and they used it also in death and so forth, embalming and so forth. So it was a bitter age of death, right? So Smyrna was this. Now remember, as we jump into this to refocus this, and I just said this before, but I want to make sure that this is ever so clear to you. This is important for you to make a rapture. Amen? You say the synagogue of Satan, this is important for you to make a rapture. God placed us in this book, amen, not just to identify an age, but to identify a spirit, a classification of what that spirit would bring forth on the good side and the spirit on the bad side, okay? So we want to be ever so careful to take just real heed to believe whatever God would say to us through this word. Now, it must go back to the scripture. It must go back to the quotes. We must find the proof for anything that we say, right? So this evening, we want to, so to say, jump into this quite a bit and try to just put a real capping on this and get through Smyrna so we can move on into another church age, right? But we have a few more things we'd like to cover before the end, amen? We always like to cover the overcomer now, don't we? Amen? Because remember why that's important. He said, and how can I overcome? He said in 63, he said that the what every overcomer of every age got, he said it blended for every age, and the last age gets all of the overcoming blessings that every other church age had. Amen? So notice, if you're given the overcomer position of every age to receive all that that they had, you will also have to go through what the spirit of what that age had against the believers, amen? But you'll also have the empowerment of the Holy Ghost to get you through that. So the overcomer of Smyrna, amen, they have what you have. Right? They had what you have, amen? And if you have what they had, you will overcome the spirit of detriment to that age, right? So praise God. He's not just speaking to the angel. That's why the book of Revelations comes together in the end, and it opens up and reveals to a bride that must overcome Satan in every single thing that he throws at you. But you also must realize that God is with you every step of the way. Amen. Hallelujah. So now, let's jump right back into the Bible. And we had covered Revelations 2:8 pretty profoundly. As far as I pray it was to me, as far as in the ninth verse as well. We went through half of that verse. But I want to pick up this evening and go a little bit deeper into a few things here. Because notice in the Revelations 2:9, it says here, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, okay? So we realize that in the second church age that the devil was already fighting the people very hard. We understand even in the first church age that Satan come around and what he allowed ever actually fought to make every one of the original disciples martyrs. Paul, a martyr. Amen? Now he fought that hard to do that. Now remember, of course, John died of an old age. But we see that John was a type of the bride. So the bride was able to escape the full bitterness from the devil. Amen? So that's good to know as we approach these things. We are a type of John. Now, if you'd like to be a type of Peter, you can go ahead and be what you want. But I want to be a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So when I look at John, I say, that's me. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to suffer. Oh, hallelujah. I might suffer, but just like John sat in a vat of boiling oil and it wouldn't faze him, it will not faze me. Because we have a faith like John had. Remember what Jesus Christ told John. When him and Peter were staying there, Peter said, what are you going to do with him? And God said, if he's here till the coming of the Lord, what does that have to do with you? Well, what are we denoting? What are we stating as fact is that John saw the coming of the Lord. He was caught up. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We are going to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, we should be in the Spirit today. But we want to make sure when that rapture's there, we have the Holy Ghost. But the rapture's already started. Well, we better have it then. Praise God. So notice God actually has some good things he can say about the Smyrna church age. And you all know where that leads to as we get to Laodicea. He's got nothing good to say about them at all. Oh, praise God. Oh, the church ages. So notice here, he says, but they're rich spiritually, even dying, even suffering, even going through all these things that they're going through. Well, remember, that's how we feel a lot of times. We feel poor, right? We feel persecuted. We feel like we're doing the best we can, but we're not giving God as much as he deserves. Well, praise God. Well, that's what the second church age had, okay? But notice Christ said, he said, but you're rich. Amen. When you've got the Holy Ghost, you are rich, church. But notice he brings an and in the ninth verse. And he says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Okay, we want to stop here. Now notice what he says first. He says, and I know. So now he's saying, you did all these things pretty good here. And I know the blasphemy of those that say they're Jews, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So now we see God, Jesus, bringing a piece of revelation our way. And first he talks about these people who have made a synagogue, which God refers to as Satan's church, okay? And notice what he says about them. He says, I know their blasphemy. Okay? Now remember, blasphemy is against God. It's something that you put forth to what? To inflict or impose upon God. Okay? Now notice blasphemy also, if you would like to maybe give definition, it's an indignity offered to God by words or writing, reproachful, contemptuous, or irreverent words uttered impiously against Jehovah. Now remember what they did in the Old Testament. You blaspheme God, you talk about God, you die. Which is why they took stones up to kill Christ. They called him a blasphemer, right? Just because he said, I am God. So notice what's going on here. He says he's God. They call him a blasphemer. So to them, him saying who he was worthy of death. Okay? Now, so we see, I want us to make sure we get what blasphemy is. It is against God in word or writing. Or we understand that your actions can kind of impose upon God in those manners as well. You will find yourself coming against God himself. Oh God. Well, remember, church, all things set aside, what was going on in Smyrna. It was an age, and remember the quote we read before, it was an age which basically set the stage for almost the full death of the church. Your prophet said it was the rain to bring forth the tares to kill the plant. Now, I'm paraphrasing that, but he was talking about it was the rain to do those things, to destroy it, okay? So notice, I want to get into this real quick here, and I want to read such a few quotes by the grace of God in a Smyrna church age in 119-5, brother. I'm going to skip the scripture that I just read in Revelations 2:9, but it talks about the blasphemy of them which say they're Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. It says, to begin with, the word Jews does not describe the religion of the Jewish people. Okay? So, just because you say you're a Jew does not mean you have a religion of Jehovah. It refers only to the people of Judah and has the same precise meaning if I were to say I am Irish born. So it's blood related. You call yourself a Jew, it's blood related. Now remember, where is the mass wickedness in America stemming from? Okay, we know it's in the hierarchy, but a lot of those are actually Jewish blood. Now, this is going to become pretty interesting pretty quick here if we're not careful, which we want it to be interesting, so let's be a little careless. But notice, he said these people were saying that they were actually Jews, real Jews by birth. They were liars. They were not Jews by birth, and they weren't Jews by religion. Okay, interesting. Now, remember what happened in the first church age. Paul actually what? He said, I'll no more go to the Jews, but shake the dust off my feet. We'll now go to the Gentiles. Your blood be on your own head, right? So notice what he ends up doing here where the prophet says, he says, now notice, they are liars. So now, remember, the message has moved from being Jews to being Gentiles. But the Gentiles are now saying that they're Jews. See, this is interesting, I'm telling you. Now notice. Now remember what your prophet said. They were not Jews by birth nor by religion. So they have absolutely no claim, the Spirit of Christ is saying to this messenger, okay? Which means what? Well, since he was an overcomer, he picked that out. He caught that even when they said they were Jews, they weren't. Even when they claimed to have a religion, they weren't. Now notice this. If all this is true, what were they then? They were a deceived people who are already part of the church. They belong to the false vine. So this is the serpent seed, okay? Now notice, we're going to continue to read, brother, 120-2. It says, they were not of the true church, but of the false church, because God said they were the synagogue of Satan. Now the word for synagogue is not the same word we use for church. In the Bible, church means the called out ones or the summoned ones, okay? So notice, he doesn't call them the church. He calls them a synagogue. And says, now the word for synagogue is not the same word we use for church. In the Bible, okay, I'm reading the same thing over again. Church means called out ones, summoned ones. The psalmist said about these elected people, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Now notice, Psalm 65:4. But the meaning of synagogue is assembly or gathering. This can be good or bad, but in this case it is bad. For these are they whose assembly is not of God, but of their own selves, Isaiah said of them, "Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake." Isaiah 54:15. "And since these were surely against the true vine, God will one day deal with them in destruction." So notice what it says in Revelation 2:9. It starts talking about this church age, and it says, okay, you're doing pretty good, and I know about these ones against you, okay? And they what? They said they're Jews, and notice they're trying to take over the religion. So now we see the attribute being given back to them that they're from the false vine and they're against the elected. And they are literally the church of Satan.
Right.
The church of Satan? A Christian church?
Right.
With people claiming now to be Jews? Well, why are they doing that? Okay, let's continue to read on. 120-3, brother. It says, now, I'm going somewhere with this. "Now, why do we have a people mixed in the framework of the church calling themselves Jews? The reason is this, pay attention. Since they were liars, they could make any claim they wished." See why being liars is bad? Because if you allow a lie to come forth, what? You can make any claim you want. Now notice what they did. They could say what they wanted as though it were a fact and then stick to it. They could be whatever they said they were. Now notice why this is important. It says, and in this case, they could be lying with a very powerful thought in mind. So notice there's a thought behind this thinking. And what is that thought? "Was it not so that the early church was almost, if not entirely, composed of Jews?" Fact. "Making them the original members of his body." "The 12 apostles were Jews. And the later apostles were either Jews or proselytes. Thus, for men to swear they were Jews would give them a preeminence and a claim to originality." So notice the goal. What is the goal? Power. Why lie? Because people always look for originality. Wait a minute. Wait, whoa. You say, brother, I don't really think that's really important. Whoa. Well, did you go hunting with Brother Branham? What meetings were you in? How come we always uplift those people? Well, you understand what I'm saying. So I better get all these testimonies. I better get this. I better get that. We don't know even what seed line these people are at. But because... Well, wait a minute. Who am I to say that everyone that hung out with Brother Branham is a son of God? But look at the message. I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to and say, well, he was with the prophet. He was in that meeting. And they give some sort of title, entitlement of supremacy to someone who was there. Just because they had a claim on originality. People, Don, to give them preeminence. Just because they staked a claim and said, I was there. I'll tell you what, I don't care if they hunted with the prophet. I don't care if they got the message memorized. I don't care what they got. If they don't have the same Holy Ghost word I got, that don't mean a thing to me. You say, oh, well, the testimonies are so great. Yes, testimonies are great. But let me tell you, what's greater? What's the greatest identification you have of this message? The testimonies or the word? This is going to be really hard to believe. When they gave me the CD with them 25 testimonies on it, I couldn't even listen to three of them. Because people love Brother Branham way too much. Remember I told you that? I listened to one, he said, the brother, one of the first things out of his mouth, he said, all I know is, he said, every morning when I wake up, I love Brother Branham more than I did yesterday. What? That makes me sick. Really? I mean, really? Now, you know, God help me. I'm not trying to take people down or to try to do something wicked here. But what I'm trying to say is that people are so often torn to give preeminence and to give authentication. Oh, bring some big words out tonight. I better slow down. Maybe I shouldn't try teaching here. But they make something authentic or to be genuine and real just because of where it was at. When, if it's not associated with the word, it doesn't matter. Right? We go to a lot of them churches that them fellas are in. And you can find out, whoa, what's going on here? Well, why? Because the only measuring stick you have is the Bible to measure a church. Well, how's this church doing? I hope some of you are saying, well, I know where it's going. Now, I want us to bridge this just a little bit, because remember what was going on in the first church age. You had the Nicolaitans, which actually was meant to conquer the laity. And we see by the scripture that what was going on is that they were trying to become empowered so that they could destroy the true vine, okay? And now we see in the second church age, the Nicolaitans are coming up again. And I want to read a little bit more of the 120-3, brother, at the bottom, because I want you to see who he says the synagogue of Satan is. He says, now, did you catch something there? Isn't that the same spirit right in the church today? Uh-oh, he said today. He said, isn't there a group that claims that they are the original and true church and that salvation is found only in her? Don't they claim that they have the keys of the kingdom which they received from Peter? Don't they claim that Peter was their first pope and that he resided in Rome when there's absolutely no historical fact for it? And even her most educated and knowing adherents believe her lies. Satan's synagogue. And if Satan be her father, and he the father of lies, then it is not strange that those in his synagogue are liars also. So now the prophet comes back and says, okay, it's the Catholic Church. Praise God. So the synagogue of Satan is the Catholic Church. But the kicker is, at this stage, now I know it's hard to, It's hard to believe that they would lie. But in this stage, they're actually claiming to be Jews to get more preeminence among the people. Interesting. Now notice what this is though. What is the root of the synagogue of Satan? Organization. So that's why you find that in modern churches, can mean message, can be anything. That when you find the spirit of organization moving in, you'll find tendencies of what was happening here. Okay? Now, I want to go a little bit into the scripture with this, just a touch here. And this, you know my touch. John 8:31. We'd like to turn our Bibles there. We got a little bit of reading to do here. Because I want you to see what they're doing. They're claiming to be the original. But God is saying that they're liars. By religion and by blood, they're complete liars. Right? Well, Pope Francis just said a good atheist will go to heaven. Why would I even be a Catholic then? Why would I suffer myself if I can be an atheist and go to heaven? Now, that's the good atheist. What's the difference between a good atheist and a bad atheist? Well, for my understanding, neither one of them accepted Jesus Christ in their heart, which makes them absolutely what? Lost. So now notice in John 8:31, notice Jesus talking to the Jews here. He says, "And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Now notice, he lays down the principle. You have to stay in my word. Isn't that what he said? What kind of word? Hybrid word? Spotty word? Or the true divine interpretation of the book? Okay? So now notice this in that 32nd verse. I love it how he says this. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Okay? You stay with the word, the truth is going to set you free. Oh, hallelujah. Sounds good. Now notice what they answer him back, which is just absolutely, once again, ironic. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" We're Abraham's seed. We're free. So now notice what they're doing. They're going back to a lineage to establish preeminence and originality. Okay? So they say, now notice why they're saying this. They're saying this to tell Jesus that they don't need him to set them free. Oh, hallelujah. 34th verse, Jesus answered them, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Oh, glory to God. Now notice what he tells them. He said, the Son shall make you free. They're hanging on lineage. And he's saying, no, the Son, Jesus Christ, will make you free. Okay? Now notice what they say here. Actually, he keeps talking. This is good. He says, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed." So now he gives them what? He gives them the right of their claim and says, okay, you got a bloodline. Amen. "But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." So notice, he's saying, okay, you are Abraham's seed, but you still want to kill me. So now notice the word is completely taking out any bloodline for dependence of salvation. Because what? He was one that did away with the law. He was saying, follow me, you follow me, don't worry, you're going to be all right. They said, yeah, we're already free, we don't need you. So he comes around, he says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. So now he takes a spiritual turn on them. And he says, I've seen what my Father has shown me. Now, what was he saying? Remember, the Word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he's coming to them and saying, okay, you're serpent seed and you need the Son. Just like God went to Cain and said, if you shall do what your brother says, you'll be what? You'll have the birthright. But he also calls them out and says that you do that which you've seen your father do. Well, wait a minute. When did they see Satan? They're manifesting the character of Satan. They can only become what their father was. Just like Jesus could only be what his father was. The Word and the devil. Now notice, this gets better. They answered in 39th verse and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So now he's identifying true lineage by the works that Abraham did. Which he's saying now, he's condemning them. He's saying, if you were Abraham's seed, you'd do the works Abraham did. It gets better, don't worry. This is already good to me, but I just can't help myself. So notice the 40th verse, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Okay? So Abraham didn't try to kill the Word. So notice, he says now in the 41st verse, ye do the deeds of your father. Isn't that amazing? The Word can call it out that simply. Now, what kind of gospel are we in church? Do we want to be nominal Christians and say, we all love God, we're all right? Or do we have to stand on the Word? Now, what did Jesus do when he come to the religious of that day? Called them devils. He, of course, gave them the chance. He gave them a chance. Of course, the Word knew what they were going to do. Now, this is actually the most amazing part of it all. In the 41st verse, and finishing off, he says, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. Why? Because they knew Jesus was born of fornication. As far as by their thoughts, they thought Mary what? Had fornication and he come forth. Okay? So, notice what they say. We have one Father, even God. Now they're claiming that God's their Father. To God Himself. Isn't that amazing? He said, if you want freedom, there's only freedom one place in God. He said, you got to have me. And they say, we're Abraham's seed. He said, nope. That doesn't matter at all. He said, now, he said, if you're Abraham's seed, you wouldn't try to kill me. So then they take a next step up. They say, we only have one Father, and it's God. God's our only Father. When he was trying to introduce them to God. Now notice how simple. You see why oneness starts jumping into this in the 42nd verse. Then Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. See the oneness? If God was your Father, you would love me. Why? Because he was the Father. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now notice this. He's talking to Jews here, religious Pharisees and Sadducees. And notice it says, the lust of your father you will do. What was the lust? Well, remember what Caiaphas, he prophesied that Jesus would have to die. What was their lust? For power. And here they are before all of God's children. Before of Israel, right there. No supernatural. Nothing but creeds and dogmas. Vindication of a prophet just happening. And here they are with the Word Himself doing miracles and signs and wonders right before their eyes. And they still could not get away from the lust to have more power than God. That's what this really is. Well, how do you say that? Well, that was Satan's desire. That he would maintain a position above God. Well, wait a minute. Why is the satanic creed, do as thou wilt? Why isn't it, do as Satan wilt? Because the seed line will always generate itself above God. So you see how amazing God is. He calls them out because of your lust, and the lust of your father, you will not even receive my word. So notice, you are the father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Characteristic? Lie. Here they were claiming they were seed. Jesus does away. And they say, well, we only have one father. God's our father. God wasn't their father. Interesting, huh? Now, I want to get a little bit further with this just so we can see what that spirit does. Because you see what that spirit is actually moving upon to do? The spirit in Smyrna? It was actually to claim collectively that we are worthy of this power. Give us the power. Just like these Jews claiming what? To be Jews. Claiming to have the Torah. Claiming that God is their Father. When the Word, the interpretation, Jesus was not just the Word in flesh. He was the interpretation of the book. Because he was the interpretation, when he come forth and manifested a progressive gospel, they could not receive it. Well, that's where we're at right now. A lot of people in this message ain't wanting to progress. They actually think that going back to the book of Acts is regression. Well, it's true. They say you don't need tongues. You don't need a prophecy. Well, we're mature. We don't need that. They're calling. Why is it a progression? Because the faith of the Pentecostal fathers is to be restored. So to actually progress into that, you have to see that you didn't start at that. So what they call, well, the prophet fulfilled that. Well, now they're regressing again into organization. While the true bride seed of a small number is progressing into the promise of this hour. Well, I don't see it. I don't look at it. How do you get the promise? By faith. Don't worry. It's coming. But what we're seeing is that we just really need a lot of character. I'll admit it. A couple of us at least. Now, I'm not going to go too far into it. Yeah, for time's sake, I better just move on. Because I don't want to stick in this. Like I said, you can always read this Smyrna Church Age in a Church Age book. Now, I want to get to this last portion. I could probably go, there are a couple sermons on this, but just for the sake of doing what we want to do here, as far as trying to find the leading of God, I'm going to move on with this because this is very powerful. But I want us to notice that at the end of the Smyrna Church Age in the book, in the written book, in 131, now notice in 131-3, brother, that he actually starts talking about the Catholic Church here. And I want us to notice what he's doing. He's taking basically a parallel from that day and bringing it to this day. Okay? Now, notice what he says here. He says, and if you think this shocking, just wait until the prophecy of Revelation 13 is fulfilled. It is strikingly true that the United States of America is in that chapter. The very number 13 is a symbol of the nation. Start out with 13 colonies. It has its flag. It has 13 stars, 13 stripes. And there is in her destiny in the 13th chapter. In this image that is mentioned in this chapter will be found all the wickedness of the beast was before it. As the beast rose at the Nicene Council, so the image will come out of the World Council of Churches with all ungodly satanic power to vent the anger of the devil upon the true vine of God. It will be a repeat performance of all diabolical cunning and cruelty. Oh, hallelujah. And he closes Smyrna talking about this. So, gee, Lord, bless it. Where do we go from here? Back to the scripture. I want to jump into this. Revelations 2:10, I want to bring it down to the good stuff. It says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Praise God. And that's how we go from there to that. Sounds pretty good to me. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So he says, okay, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now I want to read, I got a few more things to read, probably another 10 minutes, if 15 maybe. But I want us to catch this because I love it how this is worded. This is worded so perfect. I never even caught it. I wouldn't have thought about catching it. But in the eyes of a prophet, it's caught. Smyrna Church Age 130. with you. Why wouldn't he say, why would he say, fear not? Because he'll be with you. Now, this is important for what I'm getting ready to go into. Because we went to the hard part and shown you that all the diabolical cunning of Satan is ready to be unleashed upon the true vine. But now, we see that God says, fear not. Okay? I'll be with you. We know, we just preach. He said, I'll leave you, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He said in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Oh, praise God. Remember, two great wings of the eagle. The Old Testament and the New Testament. That's what your prophet said. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of that, but he ends up going into Romans 8, 35 through 59. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can. Now, notice Smyrna Church Age 132-3. He says, thou shalt have tribulation 10 days. What's this talking about? Here's a prophecy, and with it is a means of determining the lifespan of the Smyrna Church Age. Diocletian, the cruelest of all emperors, launched a terror campaign against the saints of God that except for the mercy of God would have wiped out all believers. It was the bloodiest in history and lasted 10 years, the 10 days of Revelations 2:10. From 302 to 312. Now, this is where we're going to start getting into a few things here. Very quickly, I just want to read a little bit to you because you're going to be like, because you and I read it, I went like this. But notice here what he's saying, and we understand that what was the Roman Empire at this time? They were the world power. Remember? Book of Daniel, four beasts. The fourth beast was still in power. Remember, I believe it wasn't towards the end of the, it was towards the end of the third century, or the fourth century that Rome was actually took out. But here they were still ruling the world. What was the known world? Okay? So what does that mean? They have headship over everything, everybody. And notice your prophet says from 302 to 310 or 312 was the greatest persecution that Rome had ever put on Christians. Okay? Now, here's the interesting fact that is something we don't know. We do not know how many people were killed. The funny thing is, I read this one source, and they said 3,000 people altogether. Okay? Well, then we get into the Liber Pontificalis, a collection of biographies of the popes. They say they allege 17,000 martyrs within a single 30-day period. That's coming from the popes. Okay? Now, here's where I want to take you. I'm not going to take you to the fact that they killed so many Christians. We know that. That's a simple fact. Christ said, fear not, I'm going to be with you. Everything's going to be okay. But I want us to move into the history just for a couple paragraphs, okay? And I want to show you a few things just so you can kind of say, okay, God, we're here. All right? So now, I don't know if you have them on the on there, brother, because it's an ANSI form, and I don't know if it was able to be on the jump drive. But I have it entitled Graduate Shift Against Religious Minorities, if you have that. Okay? Now, I want us to pay close attention to this because we understand that Rome was what? It was known for Christian persecution. But by history, it was sparse, and it was never long or enduring. Like this 302 to 312, okay? The 10 days that they must suffer, okay? But here we start to read, it says, Christians had always, and this is always Wikipedia, okay? So we know we can trust it, it's Wikipedia. Christians had always been subject to local discrimination in the empire. What empire? The Roman Empire. But early empires emperors were reluctant to issue general laws against them. Okay? It was not until the 250s under the reigns of Decius and Valerian that such laws were passed. Okay? Laws against who? Christians. Say, why is this important to this day, brother? Notice, under this legislation, oh, praise God, Christians were compelled to sacrifice to Roman gods. Whose gods? Rome's gods. Hindu? Allah? Allah wasn't even thought of yet. Rome's gods. But which saint do you want? Or face imprisonment or execution. So notice the legislation, okay? You got to come and worship Rome's gods. All right? This gets more interesting. It says when Gallienus acceded in 260, he issued the first imperial edict regarding tolerance towards Christians, leading to nearly 40 years of peaceful coexistence. Oh, this sounds great. Oh, Diocletian's ascension in 284 did not mark, notice, an immediate reversal of disregard to Christianity. Notice, it was not immediate, but it did herald a gradual shift in official attitudes towards religious minorities. A gradual shift in the attitudes towards Christianity. Starting to get a little bit more closer to home now, aren't we? In the first 15 years of his rule, notice, Diocletian purged the army of Christians. Why is that important? Well, remember, now they're telling chaplains and people in the military that they are not allowed to share their faith at all. That's big news. Purge the army of Christians, condemned the Manichaeans to death, which was a sect, of course, and surrounded himself with public opponents of Christianity. Boy! In 2008 through 2013, we've seen nothing but this. Everyone in a public position is against us. Now, this is actually gets a little bit more interesting. Now, notice this. Diocletian's preference for activist government. Okay? Now, what is that? This is what it is. Combined with his self-image as a restorer of past Roman glory. Remember, what was his slogan? Change? Change to what? He was promising Americans former glory. Restore of past Roman glory presaged the most pervasive persecution in Roman history. So, wait a minute. He used the statements of we're returning to what we used to be, got the Christians out of the military. Why? Because when you remember, he also demonized the attitudes towards Christians. So now we pick up. And then Diocletian was wary and asked the oracle of Apollo for guidance. The oracle's reply was read as an endorsement of Galerius's position, and a general persecution was called on February 24, 303. Time to kill him. Come back to Romans gods. Now, this has got some interesting stuff. Now, I got one more paragraph. Just hold on. I'm about done. It says, Diocletian and Maximin resigned on May 1st, 305. Constantius, Galerius, become Augusti with two new emperors, Servus, Maximus, became Caesar's junior emperors. According to Lactantius, good luck, Galerius, we ain't going to be naming our kids this, are we? Had forced Diocletian's hand in the matter and secured the appointment of loyal friends to the imperial office. So what did he do? He kept the same type of mindset. Now notice, in his second tetrarchy, it seems that only the eastern emperors, Galerius and Maximus, continued with the persecution, okay? Now notice, as they left office, Diocletian and Maximin probably imagined Christianity to be in its last throes. Okay? We've got a lot of these people killed off now. 17,000 in 30 days. We about got them done. Now notice, churches had been destroyed. And the church leadership and hierarchy had been snapped. So, what was their goal? To go after the church leadership. Now, notice, and the army and civil service had been purged. Well, what are we saying? Well, you wait to watch what happens next. It's already moving in the government. To have any position in government, you better watch out. If you're a Christian, it ain't going to work much longer. At least if you're a Bible-believing Christian. Now, if you're okay with the Roman gods, you'll be all right. Okay? Now, this is where I really wanted to get to. Eusebius declares that apostates from the faith were countless. People leaving the Christian faith. Countless. Well, why was that? Well, they were of the synagogue of Satan. You think the false mind is going to say, okay, I'm ready to die for this? The intention was never to be a Christian. Remember, your prophet said, he said they were led to Christianity to destroy it. Okay? So, isn't that amazing? That literally you find that when the persecution comes on, it's time for apostates to strike the church. Leave the church. Don't want it no more. I don't need that anymore. I don't need to die. Well, why do you think that this rapture is going to be small? Why do you think we're at the place that we're at? Why is it so coincidental that you literally have all this stuff happening to us right now? Oh, get ready. The evening shadows fall. And what was this? This was Smyrna. Now remember, we're coming out of all the loose ends away from the Holy Ghost. Remember, restoration of the bride tree? The cankerum took it all away. Now God's got to restore it. Well, that's why when you're going through Smyrna, it puts you back in Ephesus. Now, I'm just saying something here. How come we see this right on the verge and we know an Ephesus is coming? Amen. Why is it so coincidental that you literally have the same tendencies of Smyrna happening right now? Let's stand. So just a little bit of teaching tonight. And a little enlightenment maybe to see things a little more clearly. But we want to make sure that when we look at this, like I said, we've went through Nicolaitanism a lot, and we'll continue to go through as we go through the church ages. But I want to put this step in here right now, because if you think this is as bad as it's going to get, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And you know what? There's a reason why God's doing all this, is because he has to bring you back to Ephesus. Well, why am I saying that? Because notice, when Smyrna, the Diocletian terror ended Smyrna. So what I'm saying is that the persecution on Christianity going up, the higher it gets, the closer we are to it. But the whole purpose of the persecution coming is why? To separate the goats from the sheep. Apostates were countless. I ain't going anywhere. I ain't quitting this faith. Hey, we ain't quitters. We done come too far, brother. Amen. But now you look and you say, okay, well, this is it. So what do you have to watch out for? You have to watch the spirits in the framework of the church. You have to discern. This is coming. You have to make yourself ready. Is this the truth or is it not? I read a lot of quotes here tonight, didn't I? Am I putting spins on quotes? I'm just reading you the quotes. I didn't read the quote from Smyrna in the church age where he said the church comes to its greatest height in persecution. He said that right in Smyrna church age. Where are we at? We're going to come to the greatest of our height, church. But we are not called for martyrdom. We're called for a rapture. You see why you're invincible? When you return to the fullness of Ephesus without the ability of Smyrna to destroy your faith becomes perfect faith. Who can stand against you? It's not even stand in front of you. They can't stand in front of your God. But your God is just that much a part of you. Amen. Okay? That wasn't so bad now, was it? So I skipped a lot of stuff, but I hope that's okay. I could be dragging out Synagogue of Satan for another couple of sermons. But we've already preached Terror of the Serpent. I hope we got a good fix on that. Amen? So God, give me the crown of life, Lord. I say, God, give us Ephesus. And if this is ordained, you showed it right in Smyrna. That's what we're dealing with right now. Praise God. Let's do it. Let's go through it. Let's believe it. Let's stand. And let's watch God work us right into the power of God. Amen? Things are still a little bit too easy, aren't they? Do you know things are easy? I'm getting hamburgers and hot dogs and everything else. I told my wife today, I said, honey, I wish you wouldn't cook so good because I just can't stop eating that stuff. You know what? It wasn't that I was sitting there saying, oh, boy, here's three little piddly beans. Go ahead and eat them. I'll suffer myself again. I'll just go pray. We got everything we want. And I'll be honest with you. In my head, I said, honey, go make some more because that was good. I ate my $5 lunch at Dairy Queen today. My boss said, I can't eat the strawberry sundae. I know you already ate yours. Do you want another? I said, no. He said, here it is. I said, okay. I did put up a fight, but it overcome me. It's just too easy, church. It's too easy. Well, God, I want Ephesus. And then, okay, we'll get desperate. We'll have to fight for it because this is not easy. But don't worry. The persecution is getting greater. Don't think it's going to stop. It's going to get greater. Okay? You love God? Amen? It's all right? Not too bad? All right? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you say, God, maybe it's in your heart, you say, God, help me to serve you better, God. Lord, I want to be ready for what's coming, Lord. Will you make me ready? Say, God, whatever it takes to make me ready for this, that's what I want. I see the signs, God. I just seen it in the Smyrna, how they're talking about what happened there, God, and I see it, same thing happening right now here. God, make me ready because I see it's here. Help me, Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, you see, Lord, maybe the simplicity of the word, Lord, maybe it's slower than what I'm usually doing, God, but Lord, how truthful, God, does your word proclaim itself, God? That here we are, oh God, you can't even witness in the military anymore, God. Oh God, you have an absolute antichrist government, Lord Jesus. They're all against you, Lord God, but Lord, we don't want to be against you, Lord. We want to serve you with fervor and strength, God, believing, Lord God, that we're coming out of this Smyrna, God. We're moving into an Ephesus, God. Lord, help us, Lord. God, we see all these signs here, God. And Lord, we see, oh God, Lord, all the persecutions and the things we have to fight, God. We're constantly fighting against Satan, oh God, his synagogue and all these daughters, Lord, of the mother harlot, Lord. Give us strength, Lord God. Give us strength to persevere, Lord. Give us what we need to make this rapture, God. God, we want to have a token shining, God. Give us strength, God. How we desire it, how we need it, Lord. We just ask, God, you give it to us. Lord, we're a small number tonight, Lord. But give us that fervor, God, that we need, Lord. God, we can't be, oh God, we can't be caught up on the things that go on around us, God. We have to stay fixed on the cross. We have to stay fixed on the Word, God. We know the revival's coming. You've promised it, God. But Lord, let our faith abound in the promise, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we just believe and ask that you give every saint, oh God, his heart's request. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, "The More That I Surrender, the Lighter the Load," as Brother Dustin comes. Pray that's all right. If you have need to pray, I'd be happy to pray with you. I know it's a little bit of a teaching tonight and kind of getting into a couple details of those things. But isn't it amazing what that was? Actually, I read another article, church, and they literally said that. They said the early persecution, they said they just start pulling you out of your jobs. You're not able to work so freely. And we know that's what happens. So, you know what? They're turning the attitudes against us. Let's turn as many attitudes as we can to the real Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't give in to the devil. He just makes us fight harder. That's why the church comes to its very height. Amen? Somebody would like to say, God, help me surrender more, Lord. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. And the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift.
unlike you. Amen.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you.
I even heard the other day too that just a quick thing I heard was now in government positions you're actually told to make a decision on homosexuality now, where you can't just be passive about it anymore. You actually have to choose either yes I agree or no I don't. There's no more passive. So that's started in the government right now. So it might just come down to our job here shortly. Let's sing that song.